It is Bloomberg on the economy. I'm Tom Keene in New York. Our next show, Must Listen, Gerard Mynack of Morgan Stanley Australia with some shocking beneath-the-surface flows on housing and on his call for a troubled housing market beneath better headline numbers. Right now, John Taylor with us as we look at the controversy over Blinder Zandi. Of course, John Taylor, Stanford University. John, you linked together deficit, here we are, and Alan Blinder and Mark Zandi previously did make note of the larger deficits that are they're out there. Here's David Stockman in this weekend's New York Times. The new catechism, as practiced by Republican policymakers for decades now, has amounted to little more than money printing and deficit finance. Vulgar Keynesianism robed in the ideological vestments of the prosperous classes. How are we going to get ourselves out of this mess? You mentioned earlier to get a plan together, but what is the action recommendation for a government?
Well, it's logically speaking, it's pretty straightforward, Tom. Politically, of course, it's difficult, but the growth of spending going out into the future is from the entitlement programs, mainly on the health side. And the proposal, of course, on the health care reform just passed was that that would control the growth of that spending, but it has not. And so the number one thing on spending is to control the growth of entitlements. And then I say also it's important to keep tax rates low. That's the incentive. That's where you get the growth. And you're not going to have a healthy economy if there's impediments to investment, impediments to growth from either taxes or regulation. So I think the principles are pretty clear. You want to give incentive for investments. You want to give incentives for firms to hire workers. And that has to do largely with the sensible, low tax rates, wide base. Regulation is based on cost-benefit analysis. The politics, of course, is hard.
Greg Mankiw, I mentioned this with Blinder and Zandi. Greg Mankiw in National Affairs doing a nice once-over on crisis economics. Can someone even like John Taylor suggest we need a payroll tax holiday to play around with Social Security for, say, 24 months and then get the follow-up down the road?
You know, Tom, I think my view is we've tried too many of these sort of little stimulus here things, stimulus there, the cash for clunkers, the first-time home buyers. Now people are talking about temporary changes in this rate, in that rate. We need some stability. We need the idea that here's the tax system, here's what you can expect, the predictability. These things are not affecting the dynamics of the economy. They're not creating a strong recovery. Recovery needs to be the focus of attention now.
Is part of that uncertainty over the tax system?
The uncertainty. You talk to most business people now are thinking about the future. They're thinking about, are taxes going to increase on dividends and cap gains? Are we going to have a massive increase in regulation as the financial reform bill is put in place? Yeah, one thing after another. So the uncertainty caused by, I think largely by government at this point. Of course, there's other factors, international factors, but largely government. That uncertainty is turning what could be a real V-shaped strong recovery into a U-shaped recovery, and for some people, not me, even fears of another downturn.
And within this, John, I mean, you go back to this Mankiw piece in Crisis Economics. I think most of our listeners will not know that there's been a wide body, an eclectic body of research. Ramey at San Diego, Mountford at London, Ulig at Chicago, Alberto Alacena and Sylvia Ardana at Harvard that really question foundational multipliers of stimulus. I mean, this is not something new, is it? This study of the stimulus's work.
Absolutely. The idea that you could have these Keynesian demand side stimulus, I think, was discarded as an idea 10 years ago. The consensus was that you wanted a stable policy. You wanted to rely on the tax system being stable. Somehow we got off track and started these stimulus programs, which I think most people can see have not done very much good. But it is an interesting change in circumstances, occurred in recent years, and I hope we go back to what was working.
If we have challenges here, and let's say that things not worsen, but maybe they don't get better all that much, is it once more the Fed to the rescue? I mean, Marvin Goodfriend was on recently from Carnegie Mellon. He was foaming out of his mouth. He was so upset about the independence of the Fed. John Taylor, are we asking too much of the Fed, and are we going to ask them to expand their balance sheet again?
I hope not, quite frankly, because that's another area where you can question how much good it's done. On monetary policy, I had criticized the low interest rates in the early part of around 2002 through 2004 as leading to some of the crisis. So I'd like monetary policy to the extent possible to follow the process and procedures that had worked in the 80s and 90s, and that's not using the balance sheet so much. And it does question the Fed's independence. It's really more of a fiscal policy operation.
You're in knee deep, just in our final time with you, in terms of stimulus and Alan Blinder and Mark Zandi, Zandi supporting McCain and Blinder, obviously, with Democratic politics, both agreeing on the state and local crisis. You're living it. I was talking to Robert Reich at Berkeley the other day about the challenges the University of California at Berkeley faces. And I understand Stanford's completely removed from this. That was a joke, folks. But within California state fiscal crisis, should the federal government assist California?
I think the idea of bailouts is now we've got to go back on that. So the extent that the federal government will be bailing out states or states bailing out local governments, that's not going to help. That's going to make the problem worse. So to answer your question, I hope we get away from this kind of bailout mentality. It's the people in the country don't like it. Whether it's firms or municipalities or whatever. And so that's a challenge too, Tom. It's one of the reasons why our debt has increased is through the bailouts.
I don't know if you're teaching freshmen this year, but if you were, how will you change the lectures given the 3 years of crisis we've seen?
Well, we've seen, I think, more examples of how the theory of a short-term stimulus has proven right, in my view, that the temporary checks sent to people didn't jumpstart the economy, that the things like cash for clumpers had a little blip but didn't affect the dynamics of the economy. So we have a lot of evidence to use to teach the students about how policy works and what good policy is and what bad policy is. There's a good part of this whole episode, and that is emerging markets. Many of them have fared surprisingly well. It's from Brazil to India in the face of a terrible shock. And I think it's because their policies have been much better in the past. So you can learn a lot from this event, this crisis, about what policies are good and what are not. And that's the thing I think we should be teaching our students. Look at the facts, look at what happened, and make their judgments.
John Taylor, thank you. Mark Zandi, thank you. Alan Blinder, thank you. From New York, it's Ben Bloomberg on The Economy.